Today on Insight for Living from Chuck Swindoll.
Hey, you pushing somebody out of his job? Let God open the door, okay? Are you in a subservient position towards someone else? You make that boss successful. You lift him up. You use your talents to let him look good. You support him. God will put you where you ought to be just at the right time. You don't have to manipulate that. Hey, let God open the door.
If you've ever served a boss who harbors a bitter spirit or followed someone who's angry and cynical, you know it can be a miserable exercise. Trying to gain their favor becomes a true test of your humility and patience. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message introduced yesterday based on our study in 1 Samuel 16. We're watching the dramatic transition when Saul's leadership was coming to a close. He'd become old, ornery, and impossible to please. Chuck titled his message, Soft Music for a Hard Heart.
There's something about music that soothes and ministers. It goes all the way back to the first genealogical record where a man was gifted on the pipe and lyre. And a little later on, we find in the Bible a whole book of songs right in the middle, as if God is saying, sing them often and learn them well. These are my songs, over twice the length of any other chapters or any other book of the Bible. 150 of them, half of them or more written by David, who put them together on the hills of Judah. Who knows, maybe in the very context we're looking at in 1 Samuel 16, in the threatening presence of a madman named Saul. Saul's strange malady starts these verses, beginning at verse 14, and carrying us down to the end of the chapter. We're going to see the part that music played in soothing his savagery. Let's look at the 14th and 15th verses to start with. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servants then said to him, it's obvious that they could see the maddening results, and they said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Christians read those words and they fear that could happen today. Let me clarify that tonight. Before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, prior to that time, the Spirit of God never permanently rested on any believer. It was not uncommon for the Spirit of God to come for a temporary period of strengthening or insight or whatever was the need of the moment, and then to depart, and then to come back for another surge of the need of the moment, then to depart. The exception rather than the rule was that the Spirit of God came to stay. However, at Pentecost, and from that time all the way through our present era, when the Spirit of God comes at salvation, he never leaves. Now, we're reading in 1 Samuel before Pentecost, of course. And we are not surprised, therefore, to read that in this moment of severity in the life of Saul, the Spirit of God departed from Saul, and there was a vacuum created, and God sent an evil spirit to terrorize him. I don't know why. No one knows why. No one can explain God's permission in this place except for the fact that he was put out with Saul. It was as if to say, I will punish you for presuming on your office as a king and walking against my will. And so the friends said to Saul, verse 16, let our Lord now command your servants who are before you. Let them seek a man who is a skillful player on the harp. Now, I want you to see the perspective. He's a shepherd in the field strumming a guitar. He's destined for the throne. There is no way on earth a shepherd will ever see the inside of the courtroom of the king unless God does it. I want you to see how God worked to get this man some exposure in the protocol of the king's court. It's beautiful. Just beautiful how God used the gift of music to put him right into the very presence of the king's chamber. And the king fell in love with him. Okay, let's go. 16. Let him seek a man who is skillful on the harp, and it shall come about when the evil spirit from God is on you that he shall play the harp with his hand, and you will be well. So Saul said to his servants, provide for me now a man who can play well and bring him to me. Earliest archaeological records show us that ancients believed music soothed passions, healed mental diseases, and even held in check riots and tumults. There's an ancient black obelisk of Shalmaneser III. Why, I worked on that all week to get it out just right. That great black obelisk that stands, and on that are carved some characters who have the instruments that they're strumming. As far back as those ancient Assyrians who got those instruments right there. And God had his hand on David, who put together music that not only filled the Bible, but fill the heart of a depressed king in his tent. You ought to read Browning's Saul to feel the depression of that man. I took a trip to the library and checked it out, and I just read through it as I was working through the feeling of Saul. And I sort of was overwhelmed in the sense of Saul's, the blackness of the tent, and into that canvas-like attachment where he was living came David with his little lyre. And he walked into that place, and there was Saul in the madness of his depression. Well, you notice how David is described. Saul was willing to try anything. Verse 17, he says, provide a man. I don't care who it is. Bring him. Now, then one of the young men answered and said, and notice how God puts together the missing link that's needed to bring David to the throne. There is a guy who happens to hear that Saul's depressed, and he knows a fellow who knows David. And he says, I know the guy that can do that. And he's described in six words, or six, well, his resume includes six things. Number one, he is a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is, one, a skillful musician. He knows music. Two, he's a mighty man of valor. Three, he's a warrior. Four, he's prudent in speech. He's got control of his tongue. Five, he's handsome. And six, the Lord is with him. Now, that's not a bad resume, is it? He's good looking. He knows music. He knows how to keep his mouth shut. And he's ready to go. He's available. Hey, never discount anything of your past. God can pick it up and use it in the most incredible ways. Incredible ways. I remember while I was doing a hitch in the Marine Corps, I was overseas for 18 months, and 10 of those 18 months were delightful. I should say maybe 12 of the 18 were delightful, and the other section we'd just like to forget about. I was in the infantry regiment, and I realized early after getting there that God's hand was somehow in my life, and I was going to be used in some capacity in the future. I didn't know where, but I knew the infantry wasn't contributing to it. And I wanted to be in leadership, or at least know how leadership was done. I'd never had any training in it. Just a rough old untaught vessel stuck in the Marine Corps on Okinawa. And it dawned on me that if I'm ever going to get any kind of relief, so that first of all I can do intensive Bible study with some kind of leisure and really get a hold of the Word of God, I'm going to have some time free, and the infantry will not provide it. So I drew on, well, 6 years earlier, I had played the reed instruments, clarinet and saxophone and oboe, and I'd played a little on the flute, So I thought, hey, I'll try out as an audition with the band, third division band. I'll never forget it. Hadn't touched a clarinet for 6 years. So I decided I'll go in and audition. So I walked in and to remind myself which end, which way, and I stuck it together and I fiddled around for about 30 minutes and the captain called me in and I auditioned and I sight read and played marches and played some things from memory. God brought it all back and I was in. In 2 days I'd made the transfer, and would you believe that the most familiar surroundings for our third division band was with General Shoup, who became later the commandant of the Marine Corps. And our constant concerts and combos and whatever we were involved in were in the presence of the general. A dum-dum like me, sitting in the presence of the general, evening in and evening out. In fact, got to know him and talked with him. One of the few men that jumped from a major general to full 4-star general. They also lost 18 lieutenant generals when that happened, I might add. But that's the kind of man he was. What a leader! Leader of the entire 3rd Division, and here I was, a grunt in the infantry. I would never even see the shoes he wore, and suddenly I'm now playing music for him in a quartet and a woodwind quintet, which he loved. And here we were, looking eyeball to eyeball, and I watched the protocol of a general as he did his thing. Just because of music. It opened the door. That's David. Here is David plucking away on his lyre, whistling Dixie out in the fields of Judah. He's never even met Saul, and he's Saul's replacement. Get that. He's Saul's replacement. And there he comes, trucking down with a messenger that said, Saul wants to see you. I want you to see it. It's incredible how it happens. Verse 19, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who's with the flock. Now here's Jesse, good father that he is. He just hasn't gotten his word about his son. Samuel anointed him in the early part of the chapter, and Jesse let him go back with the sheep. And here's another runner, says from the king, Saul wants to see your youngest son. And so Jesse lets him go. Verse 20, it's a funny scene. Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat. Looked like the grapes of wrath going over toward Saul. He had a goat hung on the thing, and he had a jug of wine and some bread. He didn't know why he was going. Guitar slung over his shoulder, looked like he was out to lunch, and he was on his way to see Saul. He didn't know it, but he was getting ready to learn how to king it. That's God's program. He knows how to work. You sit here tonight and you think some old ancient skill you knew back several years ago is lost, you wasted all your time doing such and such. Don't you believe it. God can draw from your background the most incredible things and put you right in the right place with a little bit of skill, and you're there with the chief. Now, that's the way it was with David. He walked in the tent. Look at what happened. This is good. David came to Saul, and he attended him. They had never met. I think it's beautiful. David never once says to Saul, I'm going to take your place, pal. Never once did he pull rank on Saul. He was never jealous or envious of that position. He'd been anointed, but he'd let the Lord open the door. That's the kind of guy David was. Hey, you pushing somebody out of his job? Let God open the door, okay? Are you in a subservient position towards someone else? You make that boss successful. You lift him up. You use your talents to let him look good. You support him. God will put you where you ought to be just at the right time. You don't have to manipulate that. David comes in and he attends Saul. Remember, our guy David, no badge, no words, he never opened his mouth. Saul had no idea who that young guy was standing in front of him with a lyre slung over his shoulder. Hey, that was his successor standing in front of him. You may be your boss's successor. He may not know it. You may have already been told your heir apparent. Hey, let God open the door, okay? Let him do that. David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him. He loved him. He became his armor bearer. He was right in the chamber of the king. Why did he love him? 23. Because it came about whenever the evil spirit came to Saul, David would take the harp and play it with his hand. Isn't that beautiful? Here's David in the corner. Here's Saul on his cot. Maybe in his bedchamber, writhing in the madness of those depressive moments, and David playing out the Psalms. Who knows? Maybe they sang together after a while. Maybe he taught Saul the Psalms. We're not told. But they were bound together in love, and Saul loved that young man because he brought deliverance to his life. You will be beloved when you minister to people. You'll be a beloved person for helping them in their misery and malady. You'll be attached to their heart, and you can't drive a wedge between it. In the most simple things, the things that just come naturally to you, you minister. He says in verse 22, "Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." What a statement. Invited to the throne room, he won the heart of the king, just a shepherd lad. And now the king says to the father, verse 22, "Let your son stay. He's effective. He's got it together." Let me show you one other thing. See verse 23? Two things happened to show how effective David's music was. First of all, he refreshed Saul, verse 23. David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed. Interesting word. The Berkeley says it eased Saul. The Hebrew word is rawak, which means to be wide, to be spacious, to give space so as to bring relief. Moffat translates it, "He played for Saul till Saul breathed freely." Music unleashes the caged feelings and soothes the savagery inside of us. Or I might add, it cages us. Depending on your taste. You know me well enough to know that my style is not to harass or nitpick insignificant things. But I have become increasingly more concerned with the things that we let fill our heads as people of God. I really have. I've taken a hard line look at it with our family. We've talked about the choice of music that is acceptable. I'm glad we've done that. I haven't screamed and yelled and thrown radios out the window and acted stupid like one would be tempted to do when angry. I've just sat down and tried to work out what taste is all about, what music is trying to say. You know me well enough to know that I, as a shepherd over a flock, am committed to teaching truth and the implication of it. I think you need to look at what you're looking at and listening to in your leisure. Is it, in fact, as with Saul, giving you release and relief from evil so that God is greater? Or is it pulling you down? Is it cutting against the carnality of your muscular strains within you that we all have? Or is it encouraging them? What do you listen to? When you're through, can you say, "Christ means more to me now than he did before it started"? That's a searching question. When David left Saul, Saul was relieved. The evil presence had departed. Let's bow together, shall we? The Lord's saying several things to several different people this evening. For some of you, the last few comments do not even apply. For others of you, that's really all you've heard because it strikes right at the jugular of your life. Began so simple and easy, now it's almost a religion with some. The beauty and simplicity of the Lord is lost in the pulsation and beat of noise. For some of you, it's realizing God still got his eyes on you, even though you're still shepherding the flock in the hills of Judah. For some of you, you've been recently promoted and you're really in that place of preeminence like you've never been before. Hey, that's great. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's about. Tonight might be a decision time for some of you to say, I need to come to terms with this ridiculous habit that's captivating my time. For others of you, it's saying, Lord, I need the patience to wait as you're teaching me the importance of being faithful. For some, it's I need to support that superior that's hard to get along with. But that's what God's saying tonight. Soft music for a hard heart. Maybe that's what God's provided for you this evening. If you've never met Christ as your Savior, that's certainly the most important place to begin. He died for you. He rose from the dead to give you power, the ability to walk away from the drives, to control them, to live a positive, fulfilling life, free of the cage. That's what I'd like to have for you. I'll point you to him. Lord, we began this service with such a delightful note. To you, the greatest joy is to provide for your people and to remind us that we are the sheep and you are the shepherd. We just rejoice. We exult in God together. And for the message this evening, we have ended on a very searching note. Some want to put it out of their minds. Some want to come to terms with it. Some are still not convinced. Some are adequately convicted by your Spirit. Whatever might be the response, Lord, I pray that your ministry would not be thwarted, because even though the sermon ends, the word lingers on. For some, the need is for salvation. We pray as we step into the night air and feel the coolness of the night envelop us, that we will have a renewed appreciation for the relief that David brought to his friend. And you'll remind us on our way home that there's a Saul available to any one of us to whom we can minister. He doesn't quite know how to reach out and ask for it. And we pray that we will not be negligent or reluctant to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll and a message from his biographical series on David. It's called Soft Music for a Hard Heart. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and this ministry, please visit us online at insightworld.org. Just before our time is gone today, I'll remind you that Insight for Living has a long history of providing Bible study tools to complement each series. These study tools have been produced because, as Chuck said in his prayer a moment ago, even though the sermon ends, God's Word lingers on. Along those lines, you might want to purchase a copy of the very practical Swindoll Study Bible. Chuck's warm and personal style comes across on every page, and his informed, practical insights get straight to the heart of the Bible's message for the world today. You can purchase a copy of the Swindoll Study Bible right now when you go to insight.org/store. Or give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Did you know that Stonebriar Community Church provides a live video stream of their Sunday morning worship service? You'll find all the details at insight.org/Sundays. Finally, let me relay a message that one of your fellow listeners left for us recently. It said, "I just returned home from a months-long stay in the hospital, which involved a few surgeries. I'm isolated, I'm not able to work or drive, and I feel despair, loneliness, depression, and hopelessness. I have yet to express this to God. But because of your recent study on Psalm 142, I can tell God my fears and worries and know that He is listening. The great King of Israel did, and so can I. Thank you, Chuck." Well, moments like these are made possible because loyal friends like you support Insight for Living. And if God is prompting you to give a contribution, give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again next time when Chuck Swindoll continues our study on the remarkable life of David. That's Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Soft Music for a Hard Heart, was copyrighted in 1977, 1988, 1997, and 2009. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.